Well, good morning. What does it look like to live by faith? Living by faith, it sounds like maybe a Christian cliche that we throw around or we hear from time to time, but it's not just a flippant phrase that we say as Christians. It's actually foundational for people who follow Jesus. Like Hebrews 10, 38 and 39 tells us this. It says, "My righteous ones will live by faith. But I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. But we are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved." And that "will be saved" is this picture of eternity, this thing that every single one of us is heading towards. And until then, my righteous ones will live by faith. It's not to earn salvation, but it's because of salvation. And it's this thing that at WCC we call a growth truth. It's like because of what God's done in my life, he's saved me, he's given me a new name. That's the identity truth. We will walk and live by faith. And what the author of Hebrews is doing here is he's explaining that not only are we going to live by faith, but we're not going to turn away. Right? We don't turn away. We're not like the ones who turn away. And that phrase "turn away," like the way that that's defined in the original language, is it means to be hesitant about trusting God, to shrink back from trusting God, or to be timid, or to keep silent about our relationship with God. We're not like that. We live by faith. And what we're going to see today in Joseph's story as we continue on in the book of Genesis is that living by faith invites our participation, right? God is working and he's at work. He has a plan and he's carrying out his plan and he's invited us to participate in our growth and following him and living by faith. And what we're going to see in Joseph's story here in a little bit is that he goes through a lot. Right, we're only going to cover just a part of his story today, but he's going to walk through some pretty crazy things, a lot of twists and turns and high points and low points. And yet what we see is that we can walk by faith. We can live by faith in any season, in any circumstance, because there's a faithful God who walks with us. See, here's where we've been in Genesis. Up on the screen, you can see Genesis 1 to 11 is really the key events. And we covered a lot of that back in the spring. But today, we're going to be in Joseph. And you see, Joseph, his dad was Jacob. His grandpa was Isaac. And his great-grandpa was Abraham. And over the rest of Genesis, from Genesis 37 to Genesis 50, is the rest of really Joseph's story and what God is doing and setting up his plan and continuing to carry out the thing that he promised all the way back in the Garden of Eden to Adam and Eve when sin entered into the picture. And so as we look at Joseph's story, we're going to see a lot of a timeline of his life. There's a lot of ups and downs. He goes from being the favorite son into slavery to managing Potiphar's household back to prison and then eventually a prison manager. There's a lot of transitions and a lot of difficulties. In fact, we see it this way. This is what we're going to see in Joseph's life, that Joseph had faith in trials, he had faith in transitions, and he had faith through temptations. And as we see his story, we can glean great encouragement as we walk through some of these very same things, because we are people of God. And what do people of God do? They live by faith. Let's see how Joseph's story starts off. In Genesis 37, verses 1 through 4, it says, "So Jacob settled again in the land of Canaan, where his father had lived as a foreigner. And this is the account of Jacob and his family. When Joseph was 17 years old, he often tended to his father's flocks. And he worked for his half-brothers, the sons of his father's wives, Bilhah and Zilpah. But Joseph reported to his father some of the bad things that his brothers were doing. So Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day, Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph. It was a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. And they couldn't say a kind word about him." If you can't say anything nice Don't say, oh, no, that doesn't say that. But as the story is starting, as we see Joseph's story unfolding, it doesn't take long to see some of these trials that he's about to walk through. In fact, there's like a word that we have for what Joseph was doing to his brothers, right? He was a snitch, right? He was tattletaling on his brothers as they were working out in the field. And not only did they dislike him for that, they disliked him because he was his father's favorite. And here, as we see Joseph's story play out, we're about to see Joseph's faith through trials. We're going to see his faith through trials. And this faith through trials carries out this way. So we get the background of the story, but as it continues on, we see that God communicates with Joseph. God is a communicator, right? We learned that all the way back in Genesis 1. God communicates because he wants to be known. Right? That's who he is. He wants us to know him, and he wants us to know his plan. So what does God do? God communicates to Joseph. And in verse 5, we pick up and we get an insight into how God communicates to him. He does it through dreams, and two of them specifically. Genesis 37:5. It says, one night Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. So it's just getting worse for him. But how bad was the hatred? Well, we see that his brothers, they hear the dreams, and they begin to scheme. Right, they begin to put a plan in place to try to get rid of their brother. As you read on the rest of the verses up to 23, we see there's these schemes like, what are they going to do? How is this going to play out? And in verse 23, we see how these plans play out. It says, so Joseph, verse 23, so Joseph arrived. He arrived in the field to work with his brothers. And his brothers, they ripped off the beautiful robe that he was wearing. And then they grabbed him and they threw him into the cistern. Now the cistern was empty and there was no water in it. Right, the cistern is it's another word for a well, right? It's a well. So his brothers take him and they throw him in this well. And the way that it's used in the original language is it's this man-made structure that's meant to contain water in order to sustain life. And in Joseph's story, there's a lot of irony, right? If you were to read chapters 37 to 50, the rest of Joseph's story, there's a lot of irony at play here, right? And this isn't something new. Nate talked about this last week with Jacob and Esau. But as Joseph is sitting in the pit, the author, Moses, is keying us in on a little insight. He wants us to think that the pit is empty, and it is. There's no water in it, but what's interesting about this, if you read on in the beginning of chapter 39, we see that Joseph was not alone. See, the pit was empty, but chapter 39 says that the Lord was with Joseph. That's going to be a constant theme that we see throughout the rest of Joseph's story. The Lord was with Joseph. Have you ever gone through a hard time or a hard season in life where it feels empty? It feels like you can't turn anywhere and get an answer. It feels like I don't know how to get out of this situation. It feels like I'm left to my own devices, and it feels like I'm all alone in a pit or a man-made structure or a job or a relationship or a friendship or this thing that we call life. Do you ever feel alone? But if we see anything in Joseph's story, we see that we can go through anything and the Lord is with us. The Lord will never leave you and he will never forsake you. That's one of his promises that he gives to us. And what have we learned about God's promises up to this point? If God promises it, we can take it to the bank. And we can trust in it. We can believe in it. So when you find yourself in the pit, in a difficult season where you're like, I don't know how to put one foot in front of the other, the Lord is with you. He has not abandoned you. He has not left you. And while it may seem like everything around you is going in the wrong direction, God is there with you. I was talking to somebody who goes to church here within the last few weeks, and they were just recently diagnosed with a terminal disease. And as we were talking and this person was sharing, after listening, I just asked them, I said, how are you doing? Like how are you actually doing? Not just the hey, what's up? How are you? It's like how are you doing as you're walking through this? And they said, I don't like it. I wouldn't wish this on anybody, but I trust the Lord in his timing, and I know that he's working things out, and I just don't see it, but I trust him. You know, every single one of us at some point, maybe we're currently walking, you're currently walking through this where you're walking through a time where you're like, I don't like it. And I don't see the end of this. This person does. They see how this thing is gonna end. But yet they say, I trust the Lord, and I trust him, and I trust his timing. And if we were to just take time, right, there's so many stories. We all have our stories. But as we're walking through these trials, one of the temptations can be to say, well, I'm walking through my trial, but when I compare my thing to the person, to this next person, to this other person, and what they're walking through and going through, it doesn't seem as bad. And sometimes when we compare our trial with somebody else's, we can begin to downplay it and think, well, it's just not that bad. I'm just gonna do what I can to make it through this trial. But what happens when we begin to think that our trial's not as bad as somebody else, which some of that might be true. Some of it might be true when you compare the circumstances. But when we begin to play the comparison game, what we can do is we can lose sight of the fact that God is walking with us through these things, and he wants to grow our faith through these trials. In fact, James chapter 1 talks about it this way. James writes and he says this, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. So when we go through these trials in life, sometimes we get so nearsighted and we think, how am I gonna make it through this? But here's what we need to know. As we begin to look at Joseph's story, what looks like a waterless pit and an empty and a dead-end road is actually God setting up the rest of the story. Like I said, there's a lot of irony here, because while Moses is sitting in this empty pit, God's gonna save him from a waterless pit so that one day he can save his brothers and his family from a waterless land, from a drought. See, the things that we go through today may be the things God uses to encourage somebody else who's going through something similar later on down the road. Don't ever lose sight of the fact that God may use our hardship today for somebody's heartache tomorrow. So as we walk through these trials, lean into your faith, lean into the Lord, because he has something for you today, but he also might have something for somebody tomorrow. And in Joseph's story, he had faith through trials. But he didn't just have faith through trials, he also had faith through transitions. So we pick up Joseph's story in chapter 39, verse 1. So they pull him out of the pit and they sell him as a slave. So when Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, an Egyptian officer. Potiphar was the captain of the guard for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Now, Joseph's life was full of transitions, but if we can count on one thing, it's this truth. That while it seemed like God wasn't in the picture, here's what the author wants to remind us of in verse 2. It says, the Lord was with Joseph. God didn't stay with his brothers and his family back there and leave Joseph on his own. The Lord was with him, just like he was in the land of Canaan. The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything that he did as he served in the home of the Egyptian master. If you read on in the next few paragraphs, you'd see that Joseph, he was faithful with the very little bit that he had. He was in a major time of transition, right? You saw his timeline earlier, right? He was in a big transition. He was in a foreign land. He was in a foreign place, in a foreign house with people he didn't know, probably speaking a language that he wasn't maybe familiar with. And yet, the Lord was with him, and he was faithful in that transition. You know, as I've shared part of my story over the last few years. I shared this a while ago, that my freshman year in college was 2.5 of the best years of my life. Right? As, I'm just kidding. I've been married for 9.5 years. Those have been the best years of my life. But as I was walking through that time of transition, right, there was I was in this season of like just a big question mark. Like that was a big question mark in my life. Like, God, what's going on? What's happening? Where do I turn? One of the things that I learned was that every single one of us are always in a time of transition. We're always in a time of transition, right? Whether it's moving from one grade to the next, whether it's going from having kids in the house to having no kids in the house, whether it's from work to retirement, or it's from middle school to high school, or maybe it's a big job, or maybe you're moving into the area for work, or you're getting ready to move houses, or you're getting ready to change, or you're engaged and you're getting ready to be married, or you're dating and getting ready to be engaged. There's all these transitions in life. Every single one of us need to get comfortable with the fact that we will go through transitions. But as we get comfortable with the fact that we will walk through transitions, one of the things that we should never transition away from is our faith through those transitions. See, what we see here with Joseph is he was faithful through those transitions. He said, I'm in a new place. I'm seeing new faces. I'm in a situation I never saw myself in, and yet here's what I'm gonna do. I'm going to be faithful to the Lord. And I'm going to be faithful where he has me. The timeline doesn't matter. If I'm only here for a little bit, I'm going to be faithful. If I'm here forever, I'm going to be faithful. Some of us, we might miss out on what God might want to do in this season because we are so quick to think that we're waiting for the next season. Right? When I get the next season, when I get the next job, when I get the next place, when I get the new home, when I get to the new space, when I feel like things are permanent, then I'm jumping in and I'm going to go all in. If we're always living for the next season, we might miss out on what God has for us in this time. So when I think about that, I think about a young man named Devin. Right? Devin was a young man a few years ago. He graduated from Texas A&M. And after he graduated, he took a job here in Warsaw. And I remember meeting him on his first day. He walked in and, man, he had just had this huge smile. So I got to talk with him. I said, man, what are you doing here? Like, what brought you up to Warsaw? And he said, my work brought me up here, but I'm only here for like 2 years. I said, really? Like, you know for a fact you're here for, he's like, yeah, I'm here on a 2-year contract, but I want to get invested and I want to get plugged in at WCC because I want to make the most of the time that I have here. Man, I love this guy's energy. I love his excitement. I love his enthusiasm to say, I'm not waiting until I get settled into what I think is permanent. I'm going to be invested here today because here's what Devin knew. Devin knew that tomorrow is never promised, and so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to live by faith today. I'm going to take the things that God's done in me and put myself in a position to where I can walk open-handedly and serve him. I want to serve God, and I want to serve the church. And I love that. And in fact, if Devin was still here, I would actually invite him up onto the stage to interview him to talk through what did it look like to keep your faith through transitions. But the thing is, he's in Oklahoma now. Like his contract played out and he moved to Oklahoma. And I guarantee you, he is just as plugged in where he's at in Oklahoma as he was here at WCC. Like some of us, as we walk through times of transitions, we need to lean into our faith and say, what does the Lord have for me here and how can I get invested? Maybe today you've walked in and you're looking for a new church and you're trying to see, is WCC the right fit for us? And one of the best ways to find out if WCC is the best place to get plugged in is to get plugged in. It's to say, I'm gonna sign up to serve. I'm gonna try it out. I'm gonna sign up for a growth group. I'm gonna give it a trial run. And when you sign up for a growth group or you sign up to serve, you're not signing up for life. You just try it out and say, like, what does the Lord have for me in this season? Or maybe it's saying, I'm gonna give. I want to see where my giving goes to see God's work expand at WCC, but also around the world through the partnerships that we have. I want to see God continue to work and I want God to use me. But it takes it takes open hands, and it takes this point where we say, God, I may not see the end of this journey. I may not see what's on the other side of this transition, but Lord, I'm gonna trust you today. I love this quote by Oswald Chambers. He said, faith never knows where it's being led, but it loves and it knows the one who is leading. And as we walk through these seasons where we may not know what's on the other side, we can know the one who's walking through the transition with us. So Joseph had faith through trials. He had faith through transitions, right? He was faithful. But then we also see that he had faith through temptations. So we left off in verse 2 where he's made the manager of this guy named Potiphar's house. And as he's made the manager of the household, he's given more and more responsibility over time. Potiphar wasn't just some random Joe that he met in Egypt, right? This is like he was a captain for Pharaoh, the number one guy in the land. So Joseph is elevated to this prominent position. And not only does the text tell us that he was elevated to this prominent position, but it also said that he was quite the looker too. Right? He had something about him that made him kind of handsome. And not only was he handsome, but the owner of the house, Potiphar, his wife also took note and thought, man, he's pretty attractive. And so what did she do? She tried to get him to sleep with her. But what did Joseph do? Joseph did not flirt with temptation. He fled from it. You read all that in verses 2 through 19. Don't just take my word for it. I encourage you to actually go back and read this on your own. Read this story. Read what Joseph does, how Joseph handles temptation. Right? Todd and I, we do our best, and we want to be faithful to God's word, and we want to preach it, and we are going to continue to do that. We do our best at that. But don't just take our word for it. Read God's word for yourself, because it will help you, and it can help you in any season of life. But as Joseph faces these temptations, he doesn't flirt with it. He flees from it. And his wife doesn't like it. Potiphar's wife doesn't like it. And so what does she do? She sets him up. She sets him up. She takes his robe. She rips it up. And she brings her husband in. And she says, look what Joseph did to me, even though he had nothing to do with it. And this is what happens. Verse 19, it says, Potiphar was furious when he heard his wife's story about how Joseph had treated her. So he took Joseph and threw him into the prison where the king's prisoners were held, and there he remained. Man, talk about, this is more transitions here, right? This guy goes from the pasture, he was a shepherd for his dad, to the pit, to the palace, to prison. And this man is walking through all kinds of transitions. And what could have very easily happened is as he's going from the pit to the palace, it could have been so easy for Joseph to say, man, I've worked so hard. I've worked my way to the top. I started from the bottom, and now I'm here, and I'm earned, and I deserve a little break. And I've made it this far. I've got a great track record of being faithful, right? I've done things right up to this point, but man, things are getting busy. Things are getting heavy. There's a lot of responsibility. Maybe I could just cut this corner here, or maybe I could just sacrifice a little bit here. It's not a lot of decisions. It's just one little decision. But that's not what he does. He remains faithful through the temptation. And guess what happens? He doesn't get rewarded with more immediately. He goes to the prison. But here's what I love. I love this. As he goes on, it says that the Lord was with Joseph in the prison. The Lord didn't leave him in the palace. The Lord didn't stay in the palace and let Joseph walk into the prison alone. It says that the Lord was with Joseph in the prison. When he walked through temptation and he was faithful through the temptation, the Lord went with him. Sometimes when we walk through temptations in life, it can be easy to think that if I stand up and I say no and I stay faithful through this and I stay committed to what the Lord says in his word, that I'm going to be abandoned and I'm going to be left all alone and I'm going to lose everything. But don't lie. We shouldn't lie to ourselves and think that we are going to be left to our own and on our own. The Lord will go with us in our faithfulness through temptations. Now, I love what James says in James verses 16 to 17. Right, we've been jumping back and forth between Genesis and James. It's a lot of connections here. It says, so don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens, and he never changes or casts a shifting shadow. You say, what's the connection here? The guy's in prison. How is this good and pleasing and perfect? Well, sometimes when we work our way to the top, or we work and we have all these good things, the temptation may not be for money or for sex. The temptation may be to think that we did this all on our own and we got ourselves where we're at. And then when all of it gets taken away, we think that we did something wrong and this is God's payback and punishment for doing something wrong. And the temptation could be to think, man, I got myself here. This is all on me. This is all my good thing. But what James says here is he right-sizes our focus in understanding that living by faith understands that any good and perfect gift comes from God. And so who is it that ultimately gets the praise, not just when we're in the palace, but when we're in the pit or in a prison? It's the Lord who gets the praise. It's the Lord who gets the glory. It's God who gets our best. And it's the Lord that we stay faithful to. So when we think about Joseph in his story, I love how it ends. It says, the Lord was with Joseph in the prison, and he showed him his faithful love. And the Lord made Joseph a favorite with the prison warden. And before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners and over everything that happened in the prison. The warden had no more worries because Joseph took care of everything, and the Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. So Joseph, he stayed faithful through the trials. His trials didn't stop back in Canaan with his brothers. They continued on. Joseph stayed faithful through the transitions. And the transition, the only transition wasn't from the pasture to the pit. It was all the way through prison. And Joseph didn't just stay faithful through temptations. And the temptations didn't just stop with Potiphar's wife. There were many other temptations that are going to come in his path. And we'll hear more about those stories next week. But as I think about Joseph and I think about his life, especially up to this point, I'm reminded of Hebrews 10:38, where it says, the righteous ones will live by faith. What's interesting about Hebrews 10:38 is right after this verse, we get into Hebrews chapter 11, which is the hall of faith. We've been talking about that the last few months. And it's all these stories of people in the Old Testament who some of them, you kind of wonder, how did they get there? Right? How did this person make the hall of faith? I mean, there's murderers, there's prostitutes, there's people who lied and deceived and cut corners in life. How did they make the hall of faith? But what's so interesting about faith is not perfection. Faith is consistency in commitment in the right direction, in following the Lord. And the hall of faith is this picture of all these people who've walked before us. They've walked ahead, and they've gone ahead of us. But here's the truth for us today. We are not at the end of the line. There are people who are going to come behind us too. And the way that we handle trials and transitions and temptations, people are going to take note of that. And I'm not just talking to the grandparents and the parents and the aunts and the uncles here, like about the people who are going to come behind us. If you're in middle school or you're in high school, there are going to be people who come behind you too. And my hope and my prayer is that we would be the faithful ones who live by faith. And when I think about that, I'm reminded of a song that I heard growing up. Right, my dad, he had these little 8-track cassette tapes. You know those 8-track cassette tapes? Like, you had 8 songs on one side and then 8 on, you had to pull it out and turn it over and there's 8 songs on the other. You know what I'm talking about? Like if the little black tape got unwound, you had to put a pencil in it, like wind it up, you know what I'm saying? So I remember like my dad had this little blue Chevy Cavalier, and we would drive to T-ball games and we'd go to coach's pitch, and he would put this 8-track cassette tape. It was by Steve Green. And there was a song on it that reminds me of this. It's called Find Us Faithful, and this is how it went. It said, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe. And the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Man, when we think about Joseph and his story, man, he walked by faith, and he did it by the strength of God, because God never left him. And not only did God never leave him, but God never leaves us. And because God, who is faithful to his word and faithful to his promise and wants to be known by us, never leaves us, we too can live by faith.
Amen. The first verse of that song talks about one of my all-time favorite stories in the Old Testament. And there was a king, King Nebuchadnezzar, and he made a decree. Actually, he believed in false gods. He creates this massive golden statue, puts out a decree, says, everybody, when the music plays, you need to fall down and worship his god. Well, there were snitches, and they told on these three guys that had nothing to do with that. They wanted nothing to do with a false god. They knew who the one true Lord and Savior was. So they got brought in front of King Nebuchadnezzar, and he gave him a chance. He said, if you will worship my God, I'll spare your lives. But if not, I'm going to throw you into a burning inferno, a blazing furnace. They had nothing to do with it. And in fact, they were defiant and said, we trust in our God. He's going to save us. And they went even a step further and said, even if he doesn't, we still aren't going to worship your God. We're going to worship ours. Well, as the story goes, he throws them in the furnace, and the king looks. It was three of them. They were bound in their clothing, thrown into this blazing furnace. And the king looks and sees four. And that's the story. That's the story. There is always someone there with us. If you're a believer, he is with you. And we sang, I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. If you're here this morning and you feel like he doesn't hear you, I promise you, he hears you. He's answering. If you are a believer, if you have a personal relationship, it may not be the answer that we want. It may not be in the time that we want or that we think, but he will answer. He wants something good for all of us. As we close out, let's sing about that.
Man, what an awesome God that we serve. He is the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If you find yourself in a trial or a transition or temptation, he will make a way, and he will go with you on that way. If you are here today and you've never placed your faith in Jesus and you want to learn more about this, we'd love to have a conversation with you out at the Info Center. If you'd like a copy of the Bible and you don't have one, we also have a Bible ready for you there as well. But as we go, may we go in the love of God, the peace of Jesus, and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Have a good week.